This is Honest Abe Lincoln, and I'd like to read to you from my logs.
Episode 200!
200 episodes, I'm beside myself.
I am beside myself as well. Where did the time go? Where did the time go? Just to, you know, do a quick self-check. Would you describe our human civilization as the perfect utopia, or a utopia to everyone's individual tastes, being everything to everyone? Which of those two camps do you characterize our current utopia as? Option B, okay, all right, yeah, fair enough. I would have said option B as well, yeah.
Well, it certainly feels like things have changed, but I think that's just because we used the word change like a bazillion times in the past 6 months.
I agree. When we started, our president was white, now our president is black, so I would say that there's been a polar reversal of the political condition.
Well, at least like 75 degrees, because he's like half white.
Fair enough. Absolutely right. I'm sorry, I retract that statement. Feeling, how are you feeling about our new president? Do you feel like we've undone the bad of the Bush era?
It's been mostly a change of attitude in the American people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten more people on board. What's changed is people have kind of shifted their perspective, and now it's sort of more of like a benevolent leader.
So do you feel like that's an accurate perception?
No. I mean, not really. I've seen that Rachel Maddow thing before.
The preemptive indefinite detention. Prolonged, thank you, yeah. Yeah, crazy, yeah. Crazy notion. It seems totally out of keeping with the man that we put in office.
And part of me wants to take a little more empathy. You know, the policies were enacted under George Bush.
George Bush.
Policies that were wrong are not any more right under Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I'm like, was this part of the insidious plot with the Obama campaign, like, to sort of change people's minds about how we feel about our leaders, getting us on his side, but then continuing with the same bullshit?
Right. That's an interesting point of view. Get the Bush policies, but you have somebody in office that is likable. People's tendency is to be more of an apologist because, you know, we all worked so hard to put him in office. We're like, well, you know, he's done a lot of good stuff too, and, you know, it's hard in your first term, and of course he's got to be centrist because he has to try to please everybody, and, you know, he's crossing the aisle. Well, okay, yeah, that's true, but, I mean, the fact of the matter is that we haven't had the change that we asked for, that we wanted, that we voted for. And we can ignore that now because we have a cool, you know, liberal black dude in the Oval Office.
And also because, you get so wound up in the election, and it's, frankly, it's exhausting.
It is.
That kind of, like, hype and, like, excitement, it's not sustainable. And so here we are, 6 months after his inauguration, and we've all just shifted back into the complacency of, you know, I was in the same place last year when Bush was in office.
Right.
You know, and I speak from personal experience. Like, I am one of these quasi-complacent people. I'm a slacktivist. I like this.
A slacktivist.
Click on the petitions, and I don't even forward that shit on, though, because I hate forwards, so I don't forward it on.
I do the same thing. I don't forward.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to inundate. My inbox gets inundated with these organizations, which, of course, I sign up for, so I don't want to inundate my friends.
Right.
So I think that we feel better because it's Obama, because we like him, because he seems like a cool, hip dude who's, you know, down with us, down with our generation and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so we sort of we're not playing the roles of the watchdogs that we should be playing.
Absolutely. Well, we've talked before about the best way to lay off a workforce. If you have to lay off your workforce, the first thing you do is you circulate rumors that everybody's going to be laid off, and then let the workforce, you know, worry about it for a couple days, and then send somebody down and officially say, no, you all have your jobs. Your jobs are safe. Don't worry about this at all. And then the next day come down and fire them.
Because after all of that, nobody has any fight left.
The Bush era was the rumor, right? It was, oh, shit, things are getting bad. No, no, America isn't really becoming a police state. Oh, my gosh, but warrantless wiretapping? No, surely not. No, it can't be true. Oh, I heard rumors. There's an AT&T whistleblower. Okay, well, let's get the... No, 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 we'll get this new guy. He'll take care of everything. He represents change. Oh, are we even going to be able to get him into office? And then we did, against all odds, and we all just breathed a sigh of relief. And then 6 months later, Obama won't release the torture photos. And then that means that our torture policy doesn't change as quickly as it needs to. And oh, Obama kept the Bush wiretapping? What? Why did he? You know, our fight has somewhat diminished. You know, I'm of the opinion that our fight will cycle up again, right? That we'll, you know, after a little bit of rest, we'll be able to start to metabolize what has happened to us and address it in an appropriate way, I think.
Yeah.
So here's a question I have for you about, you know, Obama apologists, the you know, the same people that we were working so shoulder to shoulder with to get him into office. Like, I feel like a lot of people are going, well, you know, give him time, he needs to do this, and oh, yeah, okay, you know, it is still Obama, he's still doing a lot of good stuff, and that may be true, and we could both definitely name things that Obama has done that we've liked, but there's a little bit of a perceived schism there, because the apologists are willing to buy into the same ideology that you just mentioned, which is that, oh, well, you know, he's in a combative political environment, and so he has to do things to become centrist and to please both sides, and, you know, he has to cross the aisle and work with everybody. And so I want to ask you, how does that explanation of why Obama does what he does hold up to the warrantless wiretapping? Do you feel like the Republicans would give Obama crap if he abolished the warrantless wiretapping? You know, Bush was always using that to spy on journalists and politicians. And my gut tells me that the Republicans wouldn't want a Democrat having that power. So, who is he placating by keeping warrantless wiretapping? What is the apologist's rationale for Obama keeping the Bush era wiretapping? Record White House visitors, just like Cheney had. No, I guess I figured that the Republicans would object if the shoe was on the other foot. All right, so if he's spying on you now, if a Democrat was spying on you, then surely you would object, right? I mean,
money does not have a political party. Like, money is money.
So your end appraisal is that the Republicans and the Democrats both serve the same master, and that is the moneyed interests.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I mean, obviously, I don't want to say, like, all Democrats, all Republicans. I think that they do serve the same master.
Yeah.
And they just serve it in a different way.
Yeah, no, I think that's there's a lot of truth to that statement.
What is the point? Why is he continuing down this road?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite baffled.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That he's been in office and can take change the way that he
comes. Yeah, no, that's absolutely.
Well, already, his time is taken away. And you know, we can even say he's 25% through term, because by the time that 2010 hit, he's going to start campaigning for his 2012 election. What are you in office for? Like, the same? Or are you in office to make a difference? Are you in office to be in power? You know what I'm saying? Like, how the mayor was a vote for Bush.
Yeah. You think you'd be more likely to vote for a third-party candidate in 2012?
Yeah, at this point.
Our day-to-day experience doesn't change that much.
Because I was leaning towards Hillary way back in the beginning of 2008. You kind of dissuaded me from that, and you were saying, like, Obama, if anything, is the least shadowy of the shadowy overlord. We still have to keep that in mind. Like, he's still a shadowy overlord. He's still a politician.
Yeah.
He's, you know, and also, but also, he's also a scapegoat. CIA.
exactly, yeah. I mean, exactly where do you... I mean, you can't, you know, walk up to the front door of the CIA and say, listen, you guys kind of overstepped your scope, you know, your project scope here. Could you please dismantle yourselves and never exist again?
It's pretty tough to undo something like the CIA.
I had an email exchange where I said, you know, I'm not paying attention to stuff so much anymore. And it's not because I don't care. It's just because I choose to put my energy into my day-to-day life and
yeah.
the people that I encounter day-to-day. And I feel like that is a more effective way of changing, talking with people and dealing with real life.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to your statement of that your energies are more effective when you apply them close to home. You sort of get a little bit disengaged because it doesn't seem like you can really do anything about it, and it just makes you angry. Is there any way that you can serve both masters? Is there any way that you can do things locally and stay engaged in your own life and spend your energy there that could have implications in Washington? I mean, is there a perfect solution for people? Really strong analogy.
One person teaches one person, and that person will go on and teach another person, that person will go on and teach another person. I personally am so exhausted of getting all up in arms about what's happening on the higher level, do whatever the hell they want. And you know what else needs to happen? We just need to get rid of weapons.
A hell of a lot of our problems could be solved in the United States if we took some of the military budget that we set aside, you know, the great portion of our tax income that we set aside for the military. Lord knows we could do better things with that money. Ban the bomb. I'm entirely with you.
Because it works in the opposite way, like starting small at the bottom and going, you know, person to person.
I think that this is an idea with a lot of traction,
and I think the point that you, or the reference you made to casting your vote 3 times a day.
Well, I mean, is there a 10 commandments of how to live your day-to-day life so that it iterates up and down, like that you're able to affect change, that you're able to do things in small, measurable, attainable ways that improve your life and that can have the effects that we need them to have, that will change the overall situation for the better? I mean, so we've talked about de-weaponizing, disarmament.
If you had to
come up with a commandment for how people should live their lives, what would the day-to-day task be that would have that kind of effect? Okay, perfect. That's
great advice. I'm writing that down. Great advice. Okay, so if your goal...
No, I completely buy that. I completely buy that. I totally buy that. I'm not joking at all. I think that it combats the alienation effect that allows us to treat everyone we don't know like a potential combatant. I completely buy that. If we all make eye contact and smile, eventually there will be no weapons. You heard it here first. All right, so how do we get people to cast the correct vote 3 times a day, to pay attention to what they eat, to what they buy, and to cut the purse strings? Purse strings of the Walmarts and the Monsantos, and start to make choices that benefit us all.
What is the golden rule for that? What do we need to do in our day-to-day lives, Mary Todd?
Maybe just like take a moment to look at the food you're putting in your mouth. Maybe think about where it comes from. Like, does your food come from there? Is it coming locally? Is it coming? Of what you're putting in your body, of what you're sending out into the world. And it's difficult.
You know, and honestly, in terms of coming up with a reducible golden rule that will affect everything that you do, I can't think of a better one. I think pay attention is exactly the answer for us. I think that everything would be improved if you were able to, if we as people were able to stop and consider our actions more carefully.
Hey, I mean, pay attention to everything that you can, but also, you know, be aware that you can't take on everything.
Sure.
And that you just kind of need to, you know, just stay in the moment, be present, know that you can't conquer, you can't change the world in a single day, but just, it's the little actions that, you know, you start with a little snowball at the top of the hill, and you end up with a huge snowball at the bottom of the hill.
Right.
And this is one of the things that I think is created for us in our first world lives, is that we just get so inundated with information and unnecessary information, and like Michael Jackson dies and it's like this huge hoopla for 2 weeks. I mean, the examples go on and on and on, but just kind of like taking a moment to realize, yeah, to understand what you're doing right now.
Yeah. So Mary Todd, I know you've got to get off the phone because it's coming up time for you to leave. Any closing remarks? Thank you for being such a big part of it. Thank you for being there on the ground floor, and thank you for showing up on every important episode and all your help and your well wishes and creative energy and just the light that you bring into my world. Just thank you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you.
I'm so honored to have been a part of it.
And thank you, listeners. This is episode 200. Been going since 2006. Archives, of course, will remain online, so you may continue to download them, so that my pleas for net neutrality, speculation about 9/11, and Star Trek jokes can remain part of the public record. I'm sure you see where this is going. As you can probably tell, this will be the last episode of the Abraham Lincoln Logs, though my commitment to you remains as unwavering and pitch perfect as my Kentucky accent. I merely ask that you keep a loaded pistol in your bedside table with the safety off. Yeah, you know, point it away. I'm not crazy. Point it away from your children's room. Keep the safety off, or you must act in haste should you get a visitor in the night named Political Tyranny. Yeah, so the gun and maybe a couple of tyranny dogs. Don't bother with a bullwhip. Tyranny. They don't work like they do in Indiana Jones. You can't swing on them. They're mainly for looks. So once you have the tyranny dogs and the tyranny gun and the tyranny plane and the tyranny boat and the belt that contains vials of anti-tyranny, remember to make eye contact, smile at people, and pay attention. This has been Abraham Lincoln.